Shalom, this is Rabbi Yaakov Tramp, and we are in Parshas Kisavoy. We're beginning this series through our Il and our Yomim Tovim, our Yomim Noraim, on the Re series. We're going to start off, this drasha is recalibrate. We're going to look back as we go into our shuls, and return to our shuls, this Il, as we try to find purpose. I'll just start off by wishing special mazel tovs this week to the families who are celebrating Smachos this week, to Ricky and Dr. David Adler on the birth of their granddaughter, the first daughter to Tali and Arun, with Swaneth, little Chiana Bela, named after David's mother, Be'ezras Hashem. She should bring the parents and grandparents tremendous nachas for many, many good and healthy years to come. We wish a mazel tov to Chana and Dr. Jay Fenster on the birth of a grandson, the first to Ricky and Yoni Fenster. What an incredible simcha. Be'ezras Hashem, he should have his bris be'itoy of his manai. We also wish a mazel tov to Elise and David de Ginsburg on the engagement of Leah to Effie Leff. Be'ezras Hashem, they should have their wedding b'shar tova u'mutzlach as a good and healthy hour. We wish mazel tov to Hedy and Heshi Lazar on the engagement of their grandson Noah Aaron to Devorah Zweig. God willing, they should build a bias neman b'Yisrael l'shem u'l'tiferes. And finally, a special mazel tov to Barbara and Shimi Schwartz, who celebrated Yonatan's wedding to Danielle Chester this last Monday evening. What a very beautiful simcha it was. And God willing, they should take all the incredible tools, all the incredible capacities that have been instilled in them from their parents and build their house outwards with their own way, in their own direction, Be'ezras Hashem, with all the incredible blessings they have. So many beautiful smachos. Let's focus on Parshas Kisavoy. I'd like to play a quick game with you, and that is that in this first aliyah of Parshas Kisavoy, there are two mitzvahs. The first mitzvah is what's called Mikra Bikurim. A person brings their Bikurim and makes a pronouncement, a very fabulous and famous pronouncement in front of the Beis HaMikdash about donating their Bikurim. Then there is another mitzvah, which is called Vidui Maaser, which is the idea that a person does a retrospective check of all their back taxes. A person is expected to give a certain amount of Maaser Aniyim, and they're supposed to declare, make a declaration that they have, in fact, done so. They have checked their books, and they have done everything necessary. Let's just play a quick game. So which of these is the bigger deal? What's the big deal? Which of these two mitzvahs is more significant than the other? They're placed back to back. They're both agricultural. One has to do with bringing the first fruit to the Beis HaMikdash, the Bikurim. The other one has to do with the tithing, when it takes on one's produce and the giving it to the necessary recipients, whether it be the Leviim or the Aniyim. So let's take a look at, when you want to work out if something's important or not, one of the things we do is we just look at the dollars and cents of it. So on the money side of things, how much is necessary to be given in each of these mitzvahs? These are both mitzvahs which demand a person giving a certain amount of charity on their agricultural assets. So if we look at it on the Vidui Maaser side, well, Maaser comes to the word Asara or Eser, which means 10, because in fact it is a tithe. It is 1/10 of what one has produced that year. Now, 1/10 of the annual assets, which goes to the Bikurim, and another 1/10 which goes to the Aniyim. In some years, it's the second tithe, which is Maaser Sheni, to be eaten in Jerusalem. That's a significant amount of money. When it comes to Bikurim, there's a lot more flexibility. Yeah, sure, of course, you could bring an 18-wheeler truckload worth of Bikurim. But in truth, the Mishnah is pretty clear that it's one of those things we say in the morning, She'ein lohem shi'ur, that it does not have a measure, which means to say there is a very small, minimal requirement, but there is no upwards bar. It's not that it's a fixed amount. It's not a relative amount. It is something which a person can choose how much they want to give. So in thinking about it in the dollars and cents side of things, it seems pretty clear that the most important of these two, the more important of these two mitzvahs, is Biur Maaseros. When a person looks back and ascertains that, in fact, yes, they did give the necessary Maaser, tithes of their produce. The Bikurim, it's like, okay, yes, so they brought a little basket of fruits. But in the grander scheme of things, that is very minimal compared to Maaser, which is why it's interesting in the halachic formulation of how each of these ceremonies are performed, it seems that the importance is reversed. Meaning to say, when you look at the Mishnayos and Bikurim, primarily in the third perek, there's this incredible ceremony surrounding the Bikurim ceremony. It describes how they would bring an ox that would carry the cart, the wagon with the basket. It had its horns covered in gold. They would have these olive branches wrapped around its horns that would play this chalil, this beautiful musical instrument before them and arrive at Jerusalem. And then they would have this whole ensemble as they approached the Beis HaMikdash. It was really quite a procession, this farmer's procession, as people would arrive from all the fields around the country to present their Bikurim starting on Shavuos. What is interesting about this is that when it comes to Biur Maasros, when it comes to Biur Maasros, this declaration, it really is just a halachic declaration. A person has to say this, but there's no actually formal ceremony. There's no plaque by the Beis Midrash with all the psukim that a person needs to say. There's no pomp and circumstance. If the more significant contribution is certainly Maaser, then why is it that it takes the back seat when it comes to the ceremony? And Bikurim, this seemingly minimal contribution, takes the cake when it comes to how it is performed. Rabbi J.J. Shafter, one of my teachers, has a very beautiful thought, and it's so relevant as we walk into shul, as we start trying to put ourselves into that edel mood. We're feeling 2 weeks away from Rosh Hashanah. We're trying to get ourselves into that groove. And that is the following idea, is that Bikurim celebrates the future, and Maaser, or Biur Maaseros, celebrates the past. When you think about it, the Biur Maaser is essentially going through one's tax returns and saying, I have paid all the Maaser necessary to society. I have paid up the Levium, I've paid up my Maaser Ani, I've done what I need to do up till now, and I have clarified the past. That is very important. Yet the Bikurim is not about the past. In fact, the Bikurim is the Bechor, it is the first, it's the ripening fruit, it's at the very beginning of the season of ripening, before everything else is going to turn into full bloom. It is that recognition of the potential of what the future itself has to be. At the end of this process, the first crop they see, after all this work, after the plowing and the sowing and the watering and the fending off and the guarding, the nurturing, the harvesting and the gathering, they take that little fruit, that little pomegranate, they take that little cluster of grapes and they put in that basket, they bring it to the Beis HaMikdash. Sure, Maaser is a whole lot more than it is, but Bikurim is about what is about yet to be. As Soren Kierkegaard, the famous philosopher, says, life can only be understood backwards, but it must be lived forwards. As we approach our Rosh Hashanah, as we, in a certain sense, get ourselves ready for this critical moment, as we recalibrate ourselves this year, we realize that the greatest gift that we have as we approach this Rosh Hashanah is that no matter what was, we can dedicate ourselves to what will be. Because although the past may be a lot, it was still finite. But the future remains with infinite potential. Have a wonderful, have a meaningful, and have an uplifting introduction to Rosh Hashanah and Yom Kippur.